From the halls of every school in Michigan, this is School Talks on 760 WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy. Sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Now, take your seats. Class is in session. Here's Robert.
For the program this week, School Talks is out on a field trip visiting the offices of Wakely Associates Architects in Warren, Michigan. Wakely is one of School Talks' primary sponsors, and we will be at the offices learning all about the company and the quality work they do. And we'll also be joined by Jeff Atkins from Chippewa Valley Schools, who will provide some testimony on the quality work provided by Wakely Associates Architects. We'll be back with much, much more. Stay right there. This is School Talks on 760 WJR.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
We're here at the offices of Wakely Associates Architects in Warren, Michigan. And as you may know, Wakely is a primary sponsor of School Talks. I appreciate your support. And joining me on the program today is Brian Smilnack, Ron Syme, Dan Waters, and we'll have a special guest later in the program from Chippewa Valley Schools, Jeff Atkins. Welcome to the program, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello, thank you.
I appreciate your time. So, most important, we continue to put the good word out about all the good stuff happening in schools, and it's through your kinds of support that is making this possible, and I sincerely appreciate it. So, let me start first with Wakely. As many people might be aware, the company's been around since 1951. Ron, could you share some of the founding elements of Wakely and how the firm has sort of evolved since it began?
Oh, thank you. Yes, Robert Kushner and Bob Wakely came out of World War II, went to school, joined up. They met each other, I believe, in the States. Joined up and formed Wakely Associates in July of 1951.
So, Brian, what kinds of architectural services does Wakely Associates specialize in?
Well, we offer many services, beginning with assessments of school districts and buildings. We work early on with a lot of districts when they're preparing for a bond issue or a sinking fund, analyzing their buildings, their facilities. And then we also go through and helping them program for their curriculum needs, as well as then getting right into full-blown design for schematics and through construction documents for bond issues and conversions of buildings to upgrade them.
And that might help explain why the bulk of your work is now in education. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, we've got over 90% of our clientele is K-12 facilities, and that's been like that for quite some time.
And, you know, for our School Talks listeners, when you hear the term architect, nowadays it's far more than just drawing pictures. I remember back in the day, the old onion skin paper and whatnot, but when you consider a school that's trying to pass a bond, all of the work that goes into designing it, making the right decisions before you ever commit to spending money is all part of that process. And it makes me appreciate having been around as long as you have really sheds light on why you have such a solid sort of corner on the market as it relates to education type work. And I'll ask either Brian, you or Ron, could you discuss some experiences you're having outside of schools, like municipal projects currently? Ron?
Well, right now I'm working on conversion of a school for juvenile detention into an animal shelter. I'm working with another architect on that. I was hired to provide design services for that. So right now I'm in the programming and laying out the addition to that building.
And that's through a local city, I assume?
It's for a county.
So in a project like that, you're taking an animal shelter and you're converting it the other way around?
I'm converting the other way around. So it's a school that's been shuttered for a few years, and that's going to become the new animal shelter.
So when I think of a traditional school with hallways and classrooms, what are some of the early steps you need to take as an architect to anticipate the needs of an animal shelter? Where do you start?
Well, I started by walking through the building and then looking at what could be retained for the administrative part. So, you know, the animal shelter is going to need administrative areas. They're a little tight on money, so we look at maintaining that. I also look at classrooms and things like that. What walls can come down, which walls are bearing, which walls are not. And then I make decisions based upon that when the program's developed on what will actually fit in that space. I look at where the public and the private split is going to be.
Mm-hmm. And that's a classic example of a renovation or a reuse project,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And would you say in recent time that's more of an option that whether it's schools or municipalities, are people more likely to renovate space or build new, would you say, in the last 10 years?
In the last 10 years, I would say more renovation.
Yeah, and it's probably for fiscal purposes, right?
Correct.
I once knew a guy years ago who worked for Burger King, and he told me that back in the day, it was cheaper for them to tear down an old Burger King and build a new one as opposed to renovate, given all the potential environmental issues that you would encounter if you're renovating a building that's 50 or 60 years
right.
old. So in a reuse project like the one, the school and the animal shelter, you're still facing those kinds of environmental issues depending on the age of the building, correct?
Correct. This building was built 2009-ish.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's not that old, but there is concerns with wetlands in the area. We were told the wetlands go further back than where we would be having to put the addition on.
You said, you said the wetlands?
There was a concern with some wetlands right outside where the addition would go. We were told that was clear and we could go into those areas. But it is kind of a tight site.
So for our School Talks listeners, wetlands, that's something designated by the Department of Natural Resources.
Correct.
And could you explain, I've had some experience with this, but are you able to disturb a wetland so long as you replace it somewhere else?
Is correct. That the, that's correct.
And is there any formula that goes into how much wetland is required based on the size of the property, or you just have to deal with what's there?
No, it's you deal with what's there, and then you move it to other locations on the site.
Yes, this is fantastic. So listen, I need to take a break. When I come back, I'd like to talk to you about some of your sort of design philosophy and processes, and more importantly, working with schools and whatnot. How do you engage communities and help them make an impact in doing the right kind of work that you do? So stay right there. We'll be back right after this.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy, sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Blaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Once again at the head of the class, Dr. Livernoy.
We're back here on location at Wakely Associates Architects in Warren, Michigan. As you may know, Wakely is one of School Talk's primary sponsors, and we're continuing our conversation about all the good work that happens here at Wakely. And I want to talk a little bit with Dan about what the company's design philosophy and process is. For example, when you're faced with a project, how do you guys approach the balance between something being functional versus, say, beautifully aesthetic? Because as we know, it's easy to spend money, and there has to be a balance there when you especially consider you're spending taxpayer money in many cases. How do you balance that function and aesthetics?
It's a very delicate balance. We obviously want our designs to look pretty or be aesthetically pleasing, but most important is the building will function, right, as our client wants it to. So if we take a school, for instance, when we were talking earlier about open concepts in a building, as an architect, we always go back and we look at what we used to do as far as an open concept in a building. And now with safety, we're doing just the opposite of that, right? So back in the day, we tried to design buildings that are open, a lot of glazing, bring in outside light, and all those kind of concepts. But now we're doing just the opposite. In the buildings we design for students, we're deleting glass, we're making buildings more closed in, more safe, you know, because of the whole safety end of it. So quite the opposite, you know, from the start of my career to where we are now.
That's an unfortunate commentary
correct.
On the times
correct.
We're living. Let me ask you, in terms of the balance issue, I've known some schools to pursue the heating and cooling that uses the underground. I think it's called geothermal.
Yep.
Yeah. Could you tell us a little bit about how that works and whether or not that plays into the functionality aesthetics piece?
It does. I was actually fortunate enough to build a building in my prior life that actually used geothermal out in Bloomfield Hills. And at the farmhouse we did, they put in a geothermal field. And as you know, the ground below Earth is at a more constant temperature. So in the wintertime, the ground is warmer than the at grade conditions. So what they do is they run a material, it could be glycol, water, whatever it is, through there, and it absorbs the heat from the ground and then takes it to a mechanical unit that will use that to heat. In retrospect, on the opposite end, when it's hot outside, the ground is cooler below, so they take the heat from up at grade level and actually disperse it into the ground, which cools the fluid and then takes that to the unit. So,
so for our School Talks listeners, what do you mean by grade level?
Below grade. So anything at what I'll call sidewalk level, earth level, below that, we excavate a big hole and we run a bunch of tubes that carry some sort of liquid. Mm-hmm. And that liquid then absorbs the temperature of the ground below and uses that to heat and cool the building.
And what type of piping is used underground?
What we used in the project I did was plastic piping
Plastic piping.
Yes.
And by keeping that stuff underground, does it reduce any of the visible aesthetic stuff that you might see on rooftops, like units or things like that?
Yes and no. In the project I did, we had vertical unit vents, very similar to Warren Consolidated. So we took that that fluid to those units. But you could have a rooftop unit, you know, that we are supplying. So it can and it can't.
And the vertical unit you mentioned for our listeners, in many schools, each classroom has its own heating and cooling unit.
Correct.
Built right in the wall, usually adjacent to a window, which allows the teacher or the staff member to control both the heating and cooling.
Correct.
To a certain extent, in conjunction with the rest of the building. So in a project where you're dealing with this whole aesthetic functionality issue, how do you incorporate collaborating with the client before you make the decision, whether it's geothermal or to put in a skylight, whatever the aesthetic issue is, how do you work with the client in order to make sure they're happy but still do the right thing from an architectural perspective?
So what we typically like to do is when we first get a project, we do like to sit, obviously we sit down with the client and we have those conversations about what is in the program, what they're looking for, how we want to accomplish it, different environmental approaches we can use to create a environmental design, but also meet the budget of the client. So we have this meeting, we talk through all of these different concepts that we can do as a design professional, and we figure out which one will fit the need and also in the budget to solve that problem or solve that requirement of the building that mm-hmm. they're trying to renovate or build.
And also what expertise they have, if they can maintain such a system.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we're currently here at the offices of Wakely Associates Architects in Warren. As you may know, one of the primary sponsors of School Talks, and we're with the team here talking about all the great work they're doing and have been doing for seven decades of experience in, I would presume, Southeast Michigan, with 90% of their work happening in schools. That's quite an impressive history with the experience you have. So let me ask, Brian, I'm going to ask you this part of the question. When you're discussing any type of initiative or program with a client, how does Wakely promote the architecture and the design, or do you somehow play a role in sort of selling that to the community? Have you ever participated in a community question and answer, especially when you're building something new like a stadium? So what role does the firm play in that? In your experience?
Yeah, well, quite often we've been involved in, for example, bond issues with school districts, and very early on we'll be in the planning stages, and that really involves a lot of communication with the community, with town hall meetings, community flyers, surveys, even sometimes just door-to-door, knocking on doors, making phone calls to see, get the pulse of the community on how they feel about certain projects. So as we work with the administration on, let's call it, their wish list of projects, we also need to notify that community early on as far as this is what we're thinking, this is the direction we're heading, and get some feedback from them as far as if we feel that they will support those projects and actually vote yes for the bond issue. So it's very important to get the community feedback early on in many projects to see if there's going to be a good response from the community.
And as you said, that typically happens before a bond issue is voted
absolutely,
on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Very early stages, of baby steps, even before we put pen to paper. So that's something that we really start out with, the program, establishing the needs of the district. And again, if you don't have the support of the community or the school board, as you know in your history, it could be a long road.
And you know, one of the things I found in my experience as a superintendent, having been through multiple bonds with you here at Wakely, is most people might not pay attention to the fact that your clientele, which is your parents and families, is constantly moving over time. So if you enter into a 6 or 7 year bond and you're talking to a group of sixth grade parents, they may or may not see some of the work if it's at the end of the bond. And it really comes back to helping people understand that rather than look at it as what's in it for me, what's in it for the school and the community, which I have to tell you, in my experience working with you over the years, you guys are exceptional at helping people understand what's best. Especially when I was superintendent of Warren Consolidated Schools, one of the biggest school systems in the state, lots of buildings and lots of work to do, it's really important to look at the whole picture and not necessarily what's happening at any one interval, because by the time you get to the end, you have to start another one in order to maintain whatever the facility needs are. And I think that's critically important for people to understand. So on that front, I'd like to take a short break. We're going to come back and continue our conversation. Especially, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about the offices here. Pretty impressive place, I must say. If you'll stay right there, we'll be back. This is 760 WJR.
School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
We're back here at Wakely Associates Architects in Warren, Michigan, with one of our primary sponsors, Wakely Associates Architects. I appreciate it. And gentlemen, I'd like to talk a little bit. You know, we've talked a lot about the philosophy, the kinds of work you're doing, where you're doing it, and so on. But coming here to these offices makes me really appreciate the intricacy of this process. You know, when someone comes to a building and sees it newly renovated and everything's working perfectly, they don't really get to see the behind-the-scenes stuff that's going on here. And it's buzzing here today. I've never seen so many people moving around doing different things in that. And Brian, if I could ask you, what are some of the major sort of moving parts that happen here on a daily basis that supports the work you do out in the field?
Well, thanks, Dr. Bob. We do have several levels or layers of employees here. Obviously, our architects and designers are meeting with the owners out in the field, developing projects, developing programs. But back here at the office, we've got several levels of CAD operators and designers that are behind the scenes taking the concepts and ideas that the architects bring back, developing those into the various stages of the projects, which is schematic design, design development as the project grows. So there's people behind the scenes that are doing drafting and doing design work. And as we get out in the to the field, when the construction's happening, then we have our field personnel that strictly watch the construction of the buildings. But they're also involved early on. I don't want you to get the idea that they just work on a project when it's done. We consult with those fellows every day in the early stages of design and details as far as when we're putting things together, because they have the experience and the knowledge of things that maybe didn't work too well out in the past. So everybody helps each other. It's always a constant collaboration between all the departments and all the different levels of the design process in the office.
Mm-hmm. Help our School Talks listeners understand. You mentioned CAD. Tell us, what does that mean in this process?
CAD is computer-aided design. It's the computer that basically draws. I'm an old guy. I used to draw with a pencil on paper. That doesn't happen anymore. Everything's on the computer now. So I always call them the young kids are putting the input of the information into the computer, and that's actually developing the contract documents. So it's all done by computer. We have 3D modeling that also helps us with our engineers to actually build the building in three dimensions as we draw, so we can see if we need more height above the ceiling for ductwork and structure and so forth. So we constantly work with our engineers at the same time to make sure that the building as it's being designed and drawn can actually be built correctly.
Is there any chance that, given the ability to edit things through CAD, has made, not, it seems like obvious, but it seems like the editing and revision process is tenfold easier than having to either erase paper or, Dan, tell us a little bit about the advantage this brings. I think about the complexity of some of the buildings, and to think in your day, Brian, you're drawing on a piece of paper and then you discover something. I mean, are you erasing or are you redrawing? So Dan, tell us a little bit how the whole revision process is supported through CAD.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So I have the unique past of I actually learned drawing on the board as well. And I think it's very important you start there because the computer is just a tool. So the computer itself doesn't know line weights. It doesn't know certain things. We have to teach it that and tell it that and assign different values to it so the computer knows what to do. But as you draw on a board, you know that because you're doing it yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So I learned on the board, then went to the computer basically in ninth grade. Actually, Jeff was with me. We went to high school together, so he was part of that process. And as we developed and learned that, the computer is a very powerful tool which saves a lot of time. It allows you to copy things and to bring things into drawings from past projects, alter things. But with that being said, there is also a fine line you have to be very careful because you're not drawing it every time necessarily, you know, let's say a wall section on how a building is built, right? From in a house, the basement up, a building from the first floor up, or a basement, you know, whatever it is, you physically aren't drawing every piece of that when you copy it in. So you have to be very, very careful that what you bring in is relevant from one building to the other. Mm-hmm. And if it's not, you have to make that change, or it can obviously screw things up pretty quick. So
yeah, we're currently here with the team at Wakely Associates Architects in Warren, one of School Talk's primary sponsors. Dan, while you were explaining that, I had a thought. If you guys have been around for seven decades, since 1951, I have to believe...
Actually, that's eight now.
Wow. All right, thank you. Leave it to the architect to make the correction. But I have to believe that in the early stages of this company, you were probably building new construction far more than renovating. It seems logical when you think about the age of many of the schools that you see.
Yeah, a lot of the schools were brand new.
Yeah, so starting from scratch... seems like it would be easier if you did have to use paper and pencil.
Correct.
Because you're not having to anticipate what's in this wall or whatnot. And I think that's a really important distinction over time as buildings become older and the decisions made to renovate them, just how incredibly advantageous the tool of CAD and revising things comes in this process. And it goes without saying, I think computers do that for us in any number of fields. And I'll ask this. I don't know if you guys have had any experience or attended any workshops or discussions. Do you guys see artificial intelligence playing a role in architecture going forward? And if so, how?
It already does, actually.
It already does.
Brian and I had a conversation with some of our clients, and you can actually input requirements into AI and say, design me a one-story, you know, house with XXX in it, and it will spit out a floor plan. It will actually take a floor plan. If you upload it, it will analyze it for you and tell you where your weaknesses are. It's amazing.
It truly is. And to think AI, artificial intelligence, is in its infancy, I can only imagine. So, well, I'm going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to have Jeff Atkins from Chippewa Valley Schools, who's a client of Wakely, talk a little bit about the type of work you've done for them and the good work you continue to do there. So if you'll stay right there, we'll be back. This is 760 WJR.
School Talks on WJR is sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Now let's get back to class. Once again, your host, former Superintendent Dr. Robert Livernoy.
We're back here from the offices of Wakely Associates Architects in Warren, one of School Talk's primary sponsors, and we're joined now by Jeff Atkins, Executive Director of Auxiliary Services for Chippewa Valley Schools. Chippewa has been a longtime client of Wakely, and welcome to the program, Jeff.
Thank you, Dr. Livernoy.
So, Jeff, how long have you been working with Wakely on projects for Chippewa Valley? Or how long has Chippewa Valley been? I think they've been with them a long time.
Yeah, Wakely started working with Chippewa Valley Schools back in 1956. I wasn't working back then, but I started working with Wakely and Chippewa Valley in 1997, so over a quarter decade now.
Wow, that's amazing. Can you point to some of the projects Wakely has designed for the district, and what has been your overall experience working with the firm here?
I've had great experiences with Wakely Associates. They've done everything in the district between, you know, pre-K buildings all the way up to high school buildings, everything from arts to athletics and everything in between. Some of the biggest projects we've worked with them on is we've built three brand-new school buildings, so we put in place about 500,000 square feet of new construction, but we've also renovated well over 1 million square feet of the school buildings.
It's good to hear we're building something new somewhere and not renovating, right?
Yes.
That's fantastic. So you mentioned some of the new constructions. Are they all elementary schools?
Two of them were elementary schools, and one of them was a ninth grade center building.
And, you know, I've learned this over time. Newer elementary schools can be built larger, whereas older elementary schools, when they were in neighborhoods where all the children walked to school, they, you know, the capacity may have been 400 or 500 children in the building. But some of the, what are some of the capacities of the elementaries in Chippewa? Do you know a rough estimate?
Yeah, at the time, Chippewa Valley Schools was growing incredibly. The buildings were opening up with 700-plus kids in the buildings. And some of those elementary schools were actually built two-story because of that reason. The site was very tight, but we needed to house that many kids because of the number of kids moving into the district. So we've got three two-story elementary schools in the district right now.
So tell me a little bit more about how responsive Wakely is to your needs, not only in your role there, but the district at large.
So one of the things I've always appreciated about Wakely Associates is they come out to the site and they meet with you face-to-face. In this day and age with Zoom and Teams, it's so easy just to do things very remotely, but something just like this here where we're talking face-to-face, you can read body language, you can look at things in person, that's invaluable to me to be able to talk to people face-to-face and look at the problem together.
And, you know, during some of the most challenging times of the pandemic, my experience with Wakely is we figured out a way very carefully to meet in person to maintain that level of professionalism, because you hear it all over. More and more companies are requiring people to come back to the come back to the office, and your answer certainly characterized the exact need for it. So, what aspects of their design, you know, in your role in facilities, what aspects of some of their design work has been most beneficial to Chippewa? Can you point to a particular design that served the school district well?
Sure. So there's two buildings that come to mind every time we start talking about our district, Ojibwa Elementary and Mohegan High School. Those are two buildings that were built back in the 1960s. Had several additions built to them over the years, and they looked like it. You could tell the building had additions put on it, renovated. But when Wakely was challenged with making the buildings new, they went in there, they built additions, they renovated the building, and the best compliment we got at the end of the job was it looked like we didn't do anything. And that felt really weird when I first heard that comment, but the superintendent said, no, I like it. I like that everything looks like it was always meant to be that way. And that was just a great compliment that they blended the new and the old together. It felt like a brand new building, but we reused a lot of the old spaces.
Mm-hmm. And can you share any challenges that have arisen during your time with them that Wakely was instrumental in helping resolve?
Oh, yeah, there was one. So we built two elementary schools that were identical to each other, but in between the construction period of the two was 9/11. So that obviously changed the way schools were built. So we were halfway done with the second elementary school, and the state of Michigan came in and implemented new rules to make buildings safer, which, okay, I understand that. But unfortunately, we were starting to paint the building, ready to open it, and we were not going to open on time based on the new code requirements, and we were not going to be grandfathered in. Brian came out. It was one of the first days I actually started working with Brian. He came out. He found a way to modify the structural steel that was already in place, holding up parts of the building, and do that and still open up school on time. So I honestly can never thank Brian enough for that, because that was very, very stressful, as you can imagine.
It has to be a fair amount of geometry in there, right? Is that a fair statement?
A lot of physics.
Physics, yes, not just geometry, yeah. So let me ask you, there's some big buzzwords in not only education right now, but other sectors about sustainability. Obviously, safety is a really big deal, and just the whole ability for a school to respond to what modern trends there are in education. Any thoughts on the type of support or ideas or designs they have provided you in Chippewa around those topics?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Brian and I have spent a lot of time on safety, what makes schools safe. This latest bond issue with Chippewa Valley Schools was on the heels of the Parkland shooting in Florida. And so obviously we had to adapt to it, and we had to address the community's concerns. And two of those new elementary schools that I mentioned were built about 15 years ago. So it was in a different time before we had these issues that were out there. So we worked with Wakely. We've renovated those buildings that are still fairly new to modify them and make them safer and to meet today's standards. And we've done that. And again, the compliment that was made by some of the parents that worked through there was, it looked like you didn't do anything. It looked like it was always meant to be this way. So they felt very, very safe that what we did was just very seamless to the building.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you mentioned earlier, one of Chippewa Valley's hallmarks has been the growth of the school system. At one time, it was obviously a smaller suburban district, and now it's one of the largest school districts in the state. And the ability for the district to respond over time, whether it's building buildings, renovating, adding space, or whatnot, always comes back to the good advice, design work that a company like Wakely does. So what advice would you give to another school district who's considering Wakely for their services?
I would just say, please call me. I would be happy to talk to them. One of the most important characteristics or values is honesty. And I've always found that with Wakely Associates. When they come in, it's not a sales pitch. They're not trying to push their own agenda. They come in, they listen to the school district, and then when they give you advice, they're giving you honest advice. And I think that's very important in public schools. They want to be able to trust that things are being done well. So I think it's very important that Wakely is honest.
Yeah, and you know, when you think about how you just characterize them and you combine that with the fact that they've been around for now, as Ron said, 8 decades?
Yes.
That's a long time. When I think about what type of quality and reputation do you need to maintain for 80 years, right? Because I imagine in architecture, like a lot of other industries, companies come and go constantly, but to be in one spot, I know your office has moved because it used to be over by in St. Clair Shores when I was a kid. When I delivered my paper, I would drive right by the building. But for 80 years, that is a pretty substantial consideration when you're considering doing work with them. So offhand right now, are there any upcoming projects with Wakely?
So, like many school districts in the state of Michigan, we're starting to see some decline in our enrollment. And that's not, it's just lower birth rates. It just is a matter of a fact. So school district has a lot of capacity and is starting a master facility use study to see how they might be able to repurpose buildings. They've always had great programs, whether they're arts, athletics, after school programs. So one of the challenges that Wakely is going to have is how do they repurpose some of these school buildings that are a little bit underutilized now? And so I'm very excited about that because they've always been able to find a way to make a building look like it was always meant to be. So it's going to be interesting to see how they try to retrofit some school buildings for different programs than what they're currently used for today.
And, you know, being around for 80 years, you've probably done this cycle of growth, decline, a number of times.
Correct.
And have quite a bit of experience. Ron, could you tell us a little bit about what a facility use study incorporates when you present it to a school board?
Well, we look at utilization of the space. We look at conditions of the materials of the space. And then that's put into a report. We also look at curriculum needs. So what's the needs for the curriculum? What needs might change because of new curriculum? Yeah, and we look into all of that, put that into a comprehensive report, then put an estimate to that.
You know, going back to the how long the company's been around, you guys were designing schools long before there were ever computers.
Correct.
And I think about, just this is a perfect example, the electrical demand of a school now has to be tenfold what it was in 1950.
Yes.
In terms of computers and printers and all the vertical unit ventilator, you know, all that stuff, right? When you're just running boiler heat and some incandescent bulbs. So it really speaks volumes to understanding the components of a facility use study.
We're still going into buildings right now where we look on a wall and there's only one plug on each wall. Yeah. So we're adding electrical like sure. crazy, just like you said.
Yeah. That's,
one thing Brian said is we go into the classrooms. We go into every space.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do a drive-by.
Yeah,
we do it. It's comprehensive.
Yeah, and it really, like Jeff said, the level of service you provide on the ground, without a doubt, speaks volumes to your length of time in the business. So, Brian Smilnack, Ron Syme, Dan Waters, and from Chippewa Valley Schools, Jeff Atkins, I appreciate the conversation today here from the offices of Wakely Associates in Warren. Keep up the good work, and thanks so much for your continued sponsorship of School Talks.
Thank you, Dr. Bob.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bob.
Thank you, Dr. Livernoy.
So that concludes our broadcast today from the offices of Wakely Associates in Warren. I'd like to give, again, special thanks to Wakely for their continued support of School Talks. As you know, continuing the conversation about all the good things happening in schools comes from the support of sponsors like Wakely. And that's all the time we have for today. But remember, there are two ways to spell one and three ways to spell two. Till next time, this has been School Talks on 760 WJR.